Paul's letter to the Romans takes us from silence to speech. From every mouth stopped in guilt to one voice glorifying God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a vision of how the gospel transforms us from people with nothing to say to people who can't stop speaking about the greatest news in history. Join us over the next few weeks as I share my sermon series in the book of Romans, the gospel that creates a speaking people. Let's dive in. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we all know the feeling, don't we? That it's something that captures you so completely that you literally cannot stop talking about it. New parents, let me tell you, they cannot stop showing you photos of their new baby. Do you know how many times they slept today? Do you know how many nappies they filled? You know how it goes. Football fans will corner you for 20 minutes about last weekend's match. Did you see that ludicrous display last night? Oh, the thing about Arsenal is they always think they can walk it. Anyway. People in love, posting pictures on every social media they can find. When something captures you, you can't help but talk about it. Photos, football, romance, the list goes on and on. But what message could capture you so completely that you would risk your reputation for it, risk your safety for it, risk your entire life for it? So we say tonight begins our journey through the book of Romans, and Romans is all about the gospel, because the whole point of Romans is to convince a bunch of strangers to risk everything for Paul's gospel. Just picture this. Paul has just finished an extraordinary decade. He has planted churches right across the Eastern Mediterranean, from Jerusalem to the edge of Croatia. He's traveled thousands of miles, dozens of cities, countless conversations. And as he writes this letter here, his Eastern work is done. And now he knows his Bible well, and he knows he needs to go to the end of the earth. He needs to go to a place called Spain, the absolute edge of the known world. I mean, when people want to flee from what God has told them to do, they would run off to Tarshish, run off to Spain. But here's the problem. Paul has never been to this place here, Rome, but he desperately needs this Roman church to back the mission, because Rome is the center of the world out there. Rome is the strategic place to reach the rest of Europe. Just think about the audacity of the request. Paul is essentially writing to a bunch of strangers saying, "Hi, you don't know me, but would you risk your money and your reputation and possibly your lives to fund my trip to a place that none of us have ever been? Savages of Europe." I mean, why should they? Why would anyone risk everything for a message? Well, Romans is the answer. And tonight, in our journey through this comprehensive case of why this gospel needs to be shared, why this gospel enables a worldwide mission, why this gospel here gives you something to speak about. And the same question applies to us. What message could possibly be worth giving your entire life to? Well, Paul gives his answer immediately. Have a look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Did you catch it there? Just look at verse 1 again. Paul can't even introduce himself without mentioning it. Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm utterly obsessed with God's good news. Paul's entire identity is wrapped up in one thing, the gospel of God. That is the good news of God. Paul has been completely captured by this message. You see there, verse 1, it's his identity. He is a servant of Christ Jesus. The gospel owns him so much that he can't help but talk about it. And Paul isn't just genuinely enthusiastic about Jesus. Just look at the end of the verse. He has been specifically called to be an apostle with a unique mission of bringing all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. We'll see more of that in verse 5. But what Paul has discovered is when you're captured by the right message, you don't just speak occasionally, you become a speaking person. Your mouth is open to speak of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord, that is what gets people speaking. But why? What makes this message so compelling that it captures entire lives? It opens previously silent mouths. Well, there are three reasons here in verses 1 to 7. Firstly, God promised his own coming. Secondly, God came in the flesh to reign. And thirdly, God's grace compels gospel proclamation. See, there's not just any message. This is the message the entire universe has been waiting for. And once you see what Paul sees here, silence becomes impossible. So the first thing we see this evening, God promised his own coming. What makes the gospel worth your entire life? Well, the fact that God has planned this all along. Have a look down at verses 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is simply God's announcement that he is coming to reign. That isn't Paul's bright idea. Have a look at verse 2. This is what God promised through his prophets. You know how this works at big events. If you've ever been to a concert, a football match or whatever, the announcer's voice, it booms, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome." And all of a sudden the crowd goes, "Yeah," before it's even announced. Why? Because you know who's coming, don't you? The Old Testament is like a centuries-long announcement. "Ladies and gentlemen, the king is coming." And Paul says, verse 2, "The king has arrived." Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, this is where we get our definition of gospel from. This is the first use of the gospel in the Bible. Brilliant. Isaiah 52, verse 7, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news," or gospel, "who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." Do you hear it there? The gospel, the good news, is simply this. Your God reigns. That is the message that makes the dirty, blistered, bleeding messenger's feet beautiful. God himself has come to be king. The Old Testament wasn't just promising a Messiah. It was announcing that God himself was going to come and reign as king. And here in Romans, Paul says, he's here. The promise is fulfilled. Your God reigns. Now that is a message worth giving your life to, isn't it? If the creator of the universe has come to reign, you want to be one of his people. When the creator of the universe fulfills his ancient promise to come and reign personally. That is a message to shout about, isn't it? God promised his own coming. Which brings us to verses 3 and 4, where we see that God did come in the flesh to reign. Let me read verses 3 and 4. The gospel regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's a perfect you there. Do you see it? From heaven through death to life. Verse 3, the son stepped down out of heaven. He took on flesh. He was born as a descendant of David. He suffered and died. Then verse 4, 3 days later, he was raised in power and reigns as king. He comes down to go up. It's the ultimate undercover boss story. CEO doesn't just visit the factory floor. He becomes a factory worker. He gets his hands dirty. He suffers alongside the rest of them. And then he reveals who he truly is. And he says, actually, I'm the one who owns this place. And now I'm making you all partners with me. Those two verses there are really important to the rest of Romans. We're going to unpack them even more as time goes on over the next few weeks. But here is the marvelous thing we're going to see. Jesus stepped down out of heaven to become one of us, specifically so that he could take us with him. When he stepped out of the grave, he was publicly declared to be the Son of God in power, the one before whom every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. But notice the crucial word. Look at verse 4 really carefully. Paul could have said, Jesus Christ, the Lord. But what does he say? Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, when God came in the flesh to die and rise as king, he didn't come just to rule over us, to be Lord over us. He came to be our Lord. He came to reign with us. His resurrection becomes our resurrection. His victory becomes our victory. His status as the Son of God becomes our adoption as the children of God. If you know the book of Romans, that's just Romans chapter 8. When the King of the universe dies and rises and brings you into his family, Paul says, that opens your mouth. You become a speaking person because you've got the greatest news out there. God himself has conquered death. And he's made you his. God has come in the flesh to reign. And that brings us to the climax of Paul's introduction. God's grace compels gospel global proclamation. Jesus came to reign. We're called to proclaim. Have a look down at verses 5 to 7. So through him, we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what happens when the reigning king shares his treasure with you. Silence becomes impossible. Oh, look down at verse 5. Paul says, we received grace and apostleship. Not just grace to be saved, but grace that creates us speakers, people who call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Let's bust another gospel word, shall we? The word grace. It's a nice girl's name. Sometimes we say it's God's riches at Christ's expense. Sure, that's okay. Go further than that. Grace is the risen King saying to you, everything that is mine is now yours. You can replace the word grace with gift if you really want to. Jesus says that is grace. We share in Christ's death and his life and his reign. And that phrase that follows is crucial. The obedience that comes from faith. It's not just faith. It's not just obedience. It is a faith that obeys and an obedience that trusts. All for his name's sake. So Jesus gets the glory. See, if you're given an incredible gift from someone you love, a gift that's so generous, so life-changing, you don't go around and tell everyone about the gift, do you? You tell everyone about the giver or how much they love you. That is the gospel, isn't it? Jesus' resurrection becomes your resurrection. Jesus' victory becomes your victory. Jesus' status as Son of God is your adoption as children of God. And then the climax, verse 7. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. Stop. Don't let your eyes just glance over that. Read that again. This verse is as true for Rome as it is for Hemel Hempstead tonight. You are loved by God. You are called. And you are his holy people. Well, that is saint. We are all saints. Try and use that to introduce yourself tomorrow. Hi, I'm Saint so-and-so. I mean, that's not religious jargon. That is our new identity. Exactly what verse 5 says the gospel creates. It creates Gentiles, doesn't it, who are obedient through faith. So Paul's point here in the intro is this. You Romans, you are the living proof that this works. You guys were Gentiles who had nothing to say, and now you're loved by God and called to be his holy people. You have become a speaking people. And that's true for us tonight as well. And so that's what needs to continue. That is what Paul is now going to unpack through the rest of Romans and what he's going to say about himself next. You can read the next few verses. When God himself comes to reign, when he steps down, takes on flesh to reign, when he shares his treasure with you, when you become part of the family, you become a speaking person. You're given something to say. You can't help it. So speak. That's what Paul wants us to do on the back of this letter. That's the big goal. Speak. God has come to reign, and it really is good news. It's much better than a new baby, although they're cute. It's much better than a football match, if you're that way inclined. It's much better than anything else we could speak about, isn't it? Because God, the Creator, has come down and become one of us to take us with him. That's Paul's answer, isn't it? Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart, the gospel of God. Paul has been captured so completely by the gospel, he speaks. And it's not about trying to work harder at being an evangelistic person. It's about understanding what has captured you. Evangelism is not something you do, it's just something that happens. As you think of what's happened and it spills out your mouth. So here's the questions for us tonight as we think, has God's promise captured you? God spent centuries announcing through the prophets, your God reigns. And we now live at the time when he does. The king you've been waiting for has arrived. And has God's reign captured you? Jesus didn't just visit earth. He conquered death to reign as king and share that with you. You're not just subjects, you are family. Has God's grace captured you? See, when the king of the universe makes you someone who is loved by God and called to be his holy people, silence becomes impossible. You become a speaking person for his name's sake. We're going to explore that together through the rest of the book of Romans. All this stuff will get unpacked for us as we go. But God is creating a speaking people for a global mission. People so captured by the gospel that they're going to partner with Paul as he reaches the rest of the world. Brothers, sisters, your feet can actually be beautiful when they carry the beautiful news of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's what we're called to do.
Thanks for listening. If the gospel has opened your mouth, go pass that message on. Go speak of Jesus with confidence and joy. to the only wise God, be glory forever through Jesus Christ our Lord.